Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. If you enjoy our show today, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can also find us on Stitcher if you have an Android app. If you really enjoy the show, do me a favor, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes with a written review to help us spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, Leif Beaverson in the house. And my guest is Science Babe. Babe, welcome back to the show.
All right. Thank you for having me, Austin.
Yeah. So her real name is Yvette. So if I refer to her as Vet, ladies and gentlemen, so that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm trying to economize and not always just be like some misogynist, hey, babe, all the time. So
if you call me babe, I'll respond.
Whatever. I know. Well, you are a babe. You're a total babe.
Oh, I'll call you babe right back. It's cool. It's cool.
All right. So we're going to be talking about the firestorm controversy that erupted yesterday when Senator Rand Paul made comments about vaccines. Now, listen, he came out today. He posted a picture of him getting his vaccine. He said he did believe in them. But now all the anti-vaccination crazies think that he's one of them. What did you think about his comments?
I don't have cable, so I haven't been keeping up with every last news story about him. And I kind of understood. Okay, God, I'm going to get taken out of context on this.
I know.
As a libertarian, I understood what he was saying. He was trying to not enforce new regulation because, I mean, the libertarian perspective is always don't put out new regulation because what are the unforeseen consequences?
Right.
What's going to happen if we make a new law?
Right.
Because there is a tiny percentage of the population that that because of different allergies to the egg protein, different immunocompromisations, they can't have vaccines. How hard will it be for them to get around? If we make them absolutely mandatory, how hard is it going to be for them to not get vaccinated if they absolutely have, a problem with their systems? Like, how hard is it going to be for a child who is going through leukemia treatment, to not get vaccinated?
Okay, hold on. I want to get to that, but that's a little in the weeds right now. I just want to talk about the politics for just a moment.
Yeah.
Did you hear his comments? His exact wording.
Well, yeah, just in case you have any followers that aren't up on this, yeah, how about you give them back to me as well?
Okay,
just
sure.
So that everyone hears it.
Sure. Let me just read them to you because it's so important for us to make sure that we get this proper because, again, everything is being taken out of context and we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. Senator Rand Paul says, okay, hold on. I haven't got his exact remarks right pulled up right now, but
I think everyone should hear it so that no one lumps him in the wrong direction.
No, exactly. Well, okay. What he said was libertarian in the beginning, but then what he sort of strolled off into some strange territory. Okay, here he goes. He says, that he doesn't want to force anyone to be vaccinated. He's basically agreeing with what Chris Christie said, and then he went on to say, I've heard of many tragic cases, of walking, talking, normal children who wound up with profound mental disorders after vaccines.
Oh, no.
Is this the first you're hearing this?
I'd heard something along those lines. Like, I wasn't sure exactly what he's... Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. He went off into anti-vax.
Not necessarily an anti-vax, because here's the thing, and like, I want to make sure this is clear, because
maybe
some people do get side effects. Some people do have side effects from it.
Well, here's the thing. When somebody gets, as we say, a vaccine reaction, here's what happens. I mean, there's a wonderful documentary that PBS put out. There is
Chills.
Someone who has, all right, let's, I know, obviously I'm paid off by the reptilians, Starbucks, Monsanto,
right.
The ominous they, which is why I'm still driving a 2009 Corolla with 200,000 miles on it. Absolutely. That I haven't paid off yet.
Right.
God, I wish I were being paid off the money I'd be making. If somebody has a legitimate reaction to a vaccine, it is probably because they have a pre-existing condition. There are symptoms like Dravet syndrome and other conditions, whereas something that can happen because of a vaccine, like an immune response where you get a fever, will trip something that you have a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, vaccines can very rarely result in something like a fever that if you have a pre-existing condition that can cause a seizure, it will trip it. So if you have something like that, you will be someone who gets who does have an exception from vaccines. So that is a reason why someone would get an exemption, an egg allergy, a compromise. Those are reasons why someone would have a legitimate reason to not be vaccinated. Because you think they have toxins, not a reason. But Rand Paul's saying, I've heard of people getting reactions that cause them to have autism. That's literally never happened. So, I mean, this
well,
is something
that... Well, he didn't
that,
say they get autism. He didn't say autism. Yeah. I think he probably was referring to those people who have allergies. Yeah. But here's the thing. Perception is reality.
We're putting the cart before the horse. The vaccine did not cause the allergy. The allergy, we may have only found out about it with the vaccine. So, I mean, this is why we have these done in doctor's offices. These aren't being done in an unsafe environment. We need to remember that the vaccines need to be administered because we're going to, as we've seen happen with the Disneyland outbreak, we've seen herd immunity drop in clusters like we have in Southern California to the point where we don't have herd immunity anymore.
What is herd immunity?
Basically, when you have people immunized above a certain percentage, people who are in the herd who can't be immunized, like the people who I've said who are immunocompromised, are kind of protected by everyone around them who are able to be immunized. I might not be explaining it perfectly well, as I'm not a doctor or an immunologist.
But you are a scientist.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm real one, says it on my business card and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's the handful of people who cannot be immunized are protected. So the reason why the people to this point who haven't immunized by choice have kind of been protected is because everyone else around them have been immunized and haven't been getting the measles, haven't been getting all these other diseases that are preventable by vaccines. Mm-hmm. So when suddenly we're kind of at critical mass of these people who aren't getting vaccinated, you see a small cluster happen at Disneyland, and then it spreads because there are all these anti-vaxxers all over the place who haven't been vaccinating, and you see clusters of them, and it's able to spread. So they're not protected by a ton of people who are getting vaccinated because there are less and less of them, and these diseases are able to spread. I mean, we've seen it spread to, it's got to be at least a dozen states now. I think there are 4 cases confirmed out of country, and it started at Disneyland, which is 3.5 miles away from me. Right. I was at Disney on the days of the outbreak.
No way. Now that's scary because some of the people who have gotten sick, and this is what the conspiracy theorists point to, some of the people who have gotten sick were vaccinated.
We do have to, full disclosure, every time you vaccinate, I mean, it's something like about a 95% rate of success. Now, whenever you say this, mm-hmm. someone always says, they're not 100%. Well, does that mean because seatbelts don't save you in 100% of accidents, don't use a seatbelt?
Right.
No.
Right.
Like, does that mean because a jacket doesn't keep you 100% warm when it's cold out, you should go out without a jacket? Like, this is the logic. It's kind of a straw man argument every time. You take an argument to its most ad absurdum point. You know, just because it's 95%, useful, don't use it. But most of the people who've gotten sick from this have been they haven't been anti-vaxxers. They've been the children of anti-vaxxers. So, I mean, this is, I think, what frustrates me the most about this. It hasn't been the people who have these beliefs that are based on misinformation. It's been their children. So I think that's why the people who are against the anti-vax movement are so frustrated with it, is they see these innocent children who don't know any better getting hurt, or they're getting hurt now. It's like it's gone to the logical conclusion where people who are not vaccinated, not protected, are getting hurt.
Can I say something that's just totally going to be totally offensive to about 99% of the population? I mean, everyone.
You and I are going to battle back and forth on this, and I'll slap you around.
I think it's to be totally offensive. People are always like, Austin, well, you don't have kids, you don't understand. I think there might be something about having kids that makes some people nuts. Like their kids drive them crazy.
It's okay. My mom has me for a kid. I think she's a little crazy for it.
Right.
But there's
something about like the maternal instinct, the paternal instinct. You know what I mean?
Where you don't always see logic because of it. And I mean, I hope that no parents take me out of context on that. But I mean, I've heard. But I mean, whenever someone says I trusted my instinct, well, instinct isn't always the best way to go on this. Because, I mean, instincts can be wrong. You sometimes have to look at a large amount of studies that'll tell you, no, this is what's happened in a majority of cases, not just this one time when I trusted my instinct. And I mean, I don't say that to be offensive to parents, because, you know, I really love kids. I'm someone with who, just like you, I don't have children. I love kids. I mean, I hope to have them eventually.
Me too.
This is like, the reason I do this is not because I'm anti-parent. It's not because I'm anti-children. It's because I really want to protect them from preventable diseases. And it hurts me that I see children suffering from this. There was a child who had cancer, who was exposed because of this outbreak, and had to be put into quarantine. And it really bothers me that because of someone's misguided ideology, this child is now in quarantine through cancer treatment. I mean, this is horrifying. And again, I think you and me the same way. We're not saying this because we're against the parents, but, you know, they go into this kind of instinct mode, and it's like, please learn to trust the science. We're not against you. We're trying to empower you to see that there's more information out there than instinct. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, this really is a message of empowerment, not of trying to take anything away from you.
Now, you're a libertarian.
Yes, registered libertarian. My vote is always up for grabs.
I'm curious. Do you think vaccines should be mandatory?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's. I mean, this always, people look at me and go, government prevention, but here's my reason. Yes, I know. And here's my reasoning, because there's always the old saying, and I think I said this the first time I was on your podcast. Mm-hmm. Your right to swing your fist ends at my face. Your right. I'm allowed to swear on this podcast,
yeah,
right?
Are,
just a
are.
Little.
Yes, you are.
All right.
Yes.
Your
Not
right
a lot,
to swing.
But a little, yeah.
Just a little. Your right to swing your disease-ridden bullshit ends at my immune system. Mm-hmm. Just.
Okay. Okay,
you know, don't.
Okay, but wait a minute. Let me offer you a middle ground here, and this is, and maybe we can tussle over this a little bit. My viewpoint on this as a libertarian is that, no, I do not believe that vaccines should be mandatory. However, if you choose not to get a vaccine, you have to stay in your bubble. And I mean that because here's the thing. There are Amish people, there are Christian scientists and stuff like that, and there is plenty of land in the United States where if you want to go and then you homeschool your kids and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. But you have to agree to stay in your bubble.
How do you enforce that, though? I mean, that
well,
could take even more enforcement.
It could. Like, it could, absolutely. But from a moral, philosophical perspective, you know, I have to say to somebody, no, I can't see myself jamming a needle in your kid's arm forcefully, and I definitely don't want the government to do something like that. Because I think that would be very bad unintended consequences for that. But my thing is that I have to say to that person, you know, but you have to understand, if that's what you want, you have to live in a hole.
I understand what you're saying, but like I said, on the flip side, think about what we did with smallpox. We would never have eradicated it if we hadn't gone there's a wonderful TED talk talking about how they got rid of smallpox. I mean, it is the one disease, I'm not sure if we've done any more, but I think it's smallpox is the only one we've gotten rid of. Please don't quote me on that. Mm-hmm. Cause I think there are three more coming down the pipe that they're working on getting rid of, that they think they're within a handful of years of completely eradicating. Polio they have to four countries, and it's pernicious, it keeps popping back up. But they thought they were going to have measles completely done in 1983. Mm-hmm. I was born in 1983. This bullshit should have been done 31 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But that you know, makes perfect sense here. Now here's a question for you. What do you think of these vaccine courts? You know, the people have been given settlements, right? So this is what the conspiracy theorists point to too. They say, there's been court decisions, but children who've been harmed by vaccines and they've been paid out settlement. Doesn't that prove that they're harmful?
I'm going to go with no. Well, here's the one time when they have had vaccines that did have mal effects. There was a polio vaccine where a handful of times there was the polio vaccine did cause the virus, and that vaccine was taken off the market. We now have a much safer vaccine. So that one, that was the one time. And I mean, it was something like a 1 in a million incident where it caused the virus to happen in the live human. But now now we have, and that was, I believe, the oral polio vaccine. Now we just have the injected one. I mean, and the other problem with VAERS, the vaccine adverse adverse reaction board. Mm-hmm. Basically, what you can say, here's the problem with the vaccine board. It's anything from my arm swelled from the injection all the way up to, you can say, well, I had a vaccination and 3 weeks later, I was sick. Mm-hmm. I had a cold, I had, you know, whatever illness happened to me. People can report that for a vaccine reaction. Correlation to something that happened to you 2 months later is not causation. Like there's, and it's, they don't investigate these claims very thoroughly. A lot of times they do it because they have this money set away, because it's easier to throw money at a problem, than to fight it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why they've set it up that way. It's hard to prove or disprove, a lot of these either way. And I mean, at this point, because it's much easier to keep vaccinating, than to just go through every single one of these claims from these insane, claims of something, like I said, that was done 2 months earlier, in some cases, than to disprove all of them. But I mean, like, these people also might've had a peanut butter sandwich 2 months before. So in some of these cases, it didn't cause their, you know, seizure or their cold or whatever it is they're claiming in some cases.
Right.
So some of the claims that make it to the VAERS, court are quite ridiculous and don't have any causal link.
Hmm. Okay. So here's
and these come out of tax dollars.
Right.
So I don't think libertarians should like that very much.
Right. Right. Good question. All right. So do you think there's a chance if an outbreak occurs because the anti-vax crazies, you know, the government might make it mandatory so that we would have the unintended consequences of the people who are who don't want it to be mandatory are the ones who cause it to be mandatory?
I'm not sure if they'll go after the individual people. I would love to see the doctors who propagate the myths lose their licenses.
Well, that happened to the guy who pushed the autism.
Andrew Wakefield. Yeah, it's. I mean, there's the doctor in Arizona. Here's the thing. He's a cardiologist, and he's telling people go paleo. He's telling mm-hmm. people to get chiropractic care. He's telling people to avoid chemicals, and then he's selling his non-FDA approved supplements, telling them this will fight the measles. And he's also said that he wouldn't care if children died from catching the measles from his kids or from his patients.
I know. Wow,
that sounds like you took that Hippocratic oath seriously. That whole do no harm thing really worked out for you. So, I mean, his name is Dr. Jack Wolfson, and somebody started a satire page about him that's, I think it's facebook.com/sciencebabeeatme or sciencebabebiteme. So I'm like, aw, they get the id of science babe.
I deal with a lot of these conspiracy crazies and stuff, and I think a lot of these people aren't really libertarians, Yvette. I think what it is that they see this the philosophy of libertarianism sort of being ascendant right now in the United States, so they want to attach themselves to it, sort of like barnacles. Because a lot of these people aren't libertarians, and I know this because they want to do things like ban GMOs, you know, and it's the same crowd as that crunchy granola crowd. And, you know, like...
There's a weird intersection between the left and the right that happens at libertarianism. Yeah. Oh, yeah, somebody on my page told me I was a narcissistic asshole because I was a libertarian today.
Oh, God, of course. So, I've been called so much worse. That's nothing. but, you know, so people are always like, Austin, you got such a big ego. And I'm like, dude, have you not read your Ayn Rand? You know what I mean? Like her famous quote, ego is the fountainhead of all human progress. You know, if we didn't think we were great, if we didn't love ourselves, then how could we ever do great things? How could you be the science babe? If I didn't think I was great, how could I be Leif Bieberson?
And you make such a great Mr. Bieberson. but I mean, I'm not, and libertarians tell me I'm not libertarian enough for them because I'm not. I kind of am a little bit of a left-leaning libertarian.
Yes.
I'm not an Ayn Rand libertarian. I'm not. Ooh. I definitely am not. I've not put my. Oh shoot! I have things about her ideology that I love. The Fountainhead's my favorite book. I love you. Anyways, but no, it's like it's kind of nutty to me that people, when they hear I'm a libertarian, like will abandon liking what I say about science because I never on my own page espouse things about libertarianism because everything I do, I say, okay, what's the science? What is the scientific consensus?
Right.
And let's go from there. So, I mean, when I come onto podcasts like yours, I say, okay, how can we get more science and enact the right I guess, scientific principles through libertarianism, I guess. So, I mean, I try to find a balance on that.
The same way, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm biased. I have my own opinions and viewpoints on politics and stuff, but I don't let that inform my understanding of the natural world.
Yes.
Do you know? Like, my understanding of the natural world comes from an understanding of the scientific method. And,
absolutely.
And too many fringe people want to put their philosophy and ideology first. Well, I'm sorry, but the laws of gravity do not care what I think about them. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And if tomorrow I found out that everything that I had found so far on vaccines or GMOs or anything else that I talked about on Science Babe was wrong, because we suddenly found a mountain of studies saying I was wrong, I would say, okay, mea culpa.
Exactly.
I was wrong, because that's how science works. If we find new information, we change what we've said. I'd say, okay, we found new information. But I mean, I only go into the political stuff on it after I've found complete scientific consensus. Mm-hmm. Like I say, the 99.9, because there's always going to be that 0.1 that says, no, I found this. There's always going to be someone.
Right.
There's always that one friend, you know. But I mean, we always have to find scientific consensus. Like, I won't speak on a subject on my page until I found vast majority of scientific consensus, because I'm not the person in the lab doing my own research study. I'm looking at other scientists and I'm trying to promote their work. So that's how I work. And I mean, afterwards, I'll say, okay, how can I find, you know, a way to, when I come on, like I said, your podcast, I try to look at a way to promote this with, I think, an ideology that works practically.
Yeah, I like it. Well, listen, I'm going to cut this short now because we've covered all the topics. But listen, where can people find out more information about the Science Babe?
Oh, okay. I'm at, I'm at facebook.com/sciencebabe, and my .com is scibabe.com, and there is a really great article if you want to see some information about me on my thoughts on the anti-vax thing at scibabe.com/anti-vaxxers was my most recent article on that. That went pretty viral.
Everybody's been hating on Leif Beaverson lately because I put you on this big list. Not just you, but I put 20 hot libertarian women on a list. But what happened after I put you on that list?
I landed on a couple of libertarian podcasts, and I'm talking to a libertarian think tank about doing some writing for them. So that thing. Oh, and about 1,000 more followers showed up on my page. So thank you guys. I love you all.
Thank you. Oh, we hate Austin Peterson, except for all the awesome shit he does for us.
And of course we love Austin.
Oh well, so, now all the girls who are on the list. We're happy, but all the girls who were not on the list.
There were some that were on the list last year, and you have your rules. You can't do them 2 years in a row.
Right.
They'll be on the list next year. I went to check it because I'm like, I wonder if Austin put me on the. Oh, there I am, and it was funny because a couple people were like, "You're only 17." I'm like, "The list is in random order." And besides,
thank you.
Yeah,
sick and tired of people who are like. Even Miriam Weeks, Bell Knox, the porn star, was like, I should have been number one, Austin. And I was like, you are my number one, babe. Don't worry.
she's adorable. I like her very much.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
There were some people who were cranky about you having a porn star on there. I'm like, you know what? She's a libertarian. She's talented.
Cranky. Oh, yeah. Yes,
she is. She's following me on Twitter now. I adore her.
Me too. She's going to be on the show.
Have me and her both on together.
I'll have you both on together.
Austin.
Oh yes. Oh, I'm single now, yeah. So you know it's on.
She's actually the second porn star who's following me.
Now I got a bunch of porn stars following me because I got into a battle because I was defending her the other day. I wrote this long piece.
The guy
who did the hit piece on her started attacking me.
Oh, wow.
So then all of her porn star friends started jumping in and attacking him. And they all followed me. It was an epic win.
I love it.
I
think she's wonderful. It bugs me that when people attack women who are in porn. Because they don't go after the men who are in porn the same way.
Right.
It's like, you know what? If that's what they want to do, fine. If you don't like it, stop watching porn.
Right. Well,
I dare you.
Well, you know, they're all watching porn and they're all, you know, hating their own lives and stuff because their wives don't have sex with them and stuff, you know, that they married when they were 18.
You know, I'm not going to speculate on people's own lives. I find it inappropriate to speculate on their lives, but I, you know, Porn actually makes about the same amount of, and I found this the other day, online porn makes about the same amount of money as Monsanto.
Oh.
It's about, I think it was $13 billion.
$13 billion
a year industry, and Monsanto is about $14 billion a year. So I guess the internet is for porn and for arguing about GMOs.
All right, listen, I'm getting hot. I gotta get out of here. All right.
Send my love to Miriam Weeks when she's on.
I will. Facebook.com/sciencebabe. Thanks, Yvette. Hope to see you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Austin. Bye.
Bye.